Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, August the 15th. We'll talk with two guests this hour who have different viewpoints on a bill in the state legislature that would impose a tax on soft drinks. Soft drinks that dentists say can increase the risk of tooth decay to subsidize dental care for low-income people. The bill is authored by Republican State Representative Gary Bies of Sister Bay. It would actually be imposed on wholesale soft drinks and soft drink syrups and powders, but Bies says that this would come out to about 2 cents per can per consumer, hence the bill's nickname, 2 cents for tooth cents. Get it? Well, the bill has the support of the Wisconsin Dental Association, and we'll find out why this half hour. And then after 7:30, we'll welcome in a guest who doesn't like this idea. And we'll welcome your questions and viewpoints along the way at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our first guest is Monica Hebel. She is president-elect of the Wisconsin Dental Association. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So, how would this work? Why does the Wisconsin Dental Association like this idea?
Well, we wish that the state legislature would prioritize oral health care funding for the poor and underserved people in the state of Wisconsin, but they consistently haven't placed that at a high priority. So to look at a funding source for that, we came up with 2 cents for tooth cents, and we hope that that would be a way that the state would be able to fund dental Medicaid for the 850,000 people that go without access to dental care. It's reaching in crisis proportions, and in other states, some children have died from dental abscesses, and so we would really like to see them fulfill that promise.
And what is the problem? Why are 850,000 people in Wisconsin not getting adequate dental care?
About 23% of those people can get into dental offices and federally qualified health centers across the state. But because the reimbursement rates are so low, it makes it very difficult for a small business owner, dental practice, to get involved. And so it makes it hard for those patients to be able to get in to see a dentist.
So then this tax, should it pass, would be used for reimbursement of the dentists who take low-income patients?
It actually would make it easier for the patients to get in because the fair market rates for the dental services would allow more dentists to participate.
Mm-hmm. Tell us why more dentists don't participate and accept the reimbursement even if it isn't fully covering the expense.
Right. It gets a little bit complicated in the sense that we have to talk about overhead and things like that, which makes people kind of glaze over. But the cost of doing business in a dental practice is more than the reimbursement that you get for taking care of the people. So for everyone you see, you end up losing money on that. And that's to do the hard costs of paying the electric bill and your staff. It doesn't even include the pay for the dentist.
Yeah. And why pick on soda?
Well, we actually feel so strongly about that connection between soda and good oral health care that we do our own advertising, sip all day, get decay. We've done that in the past. And so we feel there's a connection. And while we wish that they would prioritize it within the current and existing budget, we see that they haven't done that. So we think soda is kind of a natural connection.
We're talking with Monica Hebel, president-elect of the Wisconsin Dental Association. She's giving us her side, the Dental Association's take on a bill in the state legislature that would impose a tax on soda, on soft drinks, to subsidize dental care and access for low-income people. It would work out to about 2 cents per can. So the bill is nicknamed 2 cents for tooth cents. What do you think of this idea? What questions do you have? Would you be willing to spend an extra couple of pennies on a can of soda if it meant more low-income people could get access to dental care? Do you think this is a good idea? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, 16 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, August the 15th. We're talking with Monica Hebel, president-elect of the Wisconsin Dental Association, talking about her support for a bill authored by Republican State Representative Gary Bies of Sister Bay that would impose a 2 cents tax on soft drinks to help pay for dental care for low-income people in Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. This bill is opposed by various trade groups, including the Wisconsin Beverage Association and the Wisconsin Grocers Association and others. We have a guest from a different organization talking with us after 7:30 who's also against this type of tax for this type of reason coming up after 7:30. Well, let me ask you before I go to the phones, and our lines are full, by the way, Monica Hebel, but the Grocers Association, for example, says no one will argue that people need dental care and education. But, you know, should we tax certain products to pay for vision care, for obesity care, for other reasons, saying that this doesn't make sense to single out one product to pay for one type of service?
Well, this is something that the state has promised dental care, and so we need to have it funded. In the states that have funded it, you can see that the access problem goes away. We have a history and proof that that happens. And so if they don't like the soda tax, we'd really appreciate them calling their legislative hotline or contacting their legislator to get it prioritized within the current state budget. We just really think that you need to fund this program to make it so kids don't end up getting sick.
Yeah, because kids on Medicaid or Badger Care can go to the doctor if they have an obesity program and there's not an access problem there?
Well, in medicine and dentistry are so different. They cost shift in medicine, so they're able to shift the cost of the underfunded government programs onto the private insurance patients. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And in dentistry, you can't do that.
Let's go to the phones. Pat in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. I had a question related to I don't think it's been very clear how this money would be used, especially as it relates to communities of color. Many times when statewide taxes or statewide revenues are put together, and many times especially low-income children and adults, especially in dental, they can't get access to care even when they have Medicaid. So are there any provisions in this to specifically target communities of color?
The money would go to create a trust fund, which would do a couple things, and one of them would be to get the rates to market rates, which would help in those cities where there is a concentration of communities of color. There also would be grants and money left over so that people could apply and do educational things, and Marquette University is specifically listed in the bill, which is in the city of Milwaukee.
Thank you very much, Pat. It says here that the bill would ensure that 75% of dentists who care for Medicaid and Badger Care patients would be reimbursed for the fair market value of their services. 75% of dentists.
It's actually the 75th percentile, mm-hmm. which means that 75% of dentists would be receiving their fee. So it's actually, I think, an easier way to describe that is to get the rates up to fair market rates. It gives the underserved economic purchasing power so that they can be seen in a dental office just like somebody with dental insurance. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Pat, for the call. Next is Gloria in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah. A couple of things. I think this is really great. I guess I have two questions. The one question I have is, who in the heck would be fighting against this? And the second question I have is that when people have the MA, they really don't want the dentists in the area, or I think from what I've heard and also experienced, they don't really want to mess with the paperwork with this MA, so they, you know, it's really hard, I think, for anybody that's got that lower income to go to the dentist. The reason I say this is that our dentist, in particular, we had a foster child, and he actually refused to see the foster child because of the, you know, because of the Medicaid or the assistance at the end, didn't want to bother with the paperwork for this particular child, a foster child. And I've heard things of this as well, that they just don't, the dentist just don't want to bother with the paperwork, so they just refuse to see the patient.
Yeah. Dr. Hebel?
Well, one of the other initiatives that we have is we're trying to get a dental-only administrator for the program, because dentistry is a little bit different than medicine, and this is a complicated claims processing, and when you're trying to get dentists involved that don't do a lot of MA, you have to make it work just like dental insurance. And when in the states that have gone to a dental-only administrator, they've been able to address those concerns.
Yeah. Now, this bill isn't included in either version of the state budget, as I understand, the Senate or Assembly version. Are you hoping that somehow this might be added to the budget that's being negotiated?
Oh, we just would hope that somehow the funding would come for this so that the kids don't have to get so sick. And we don't think that there's a very good chance this go round, this two-year budget cycle. But there are some initiatives in the Assembly and in the Senate, and I think it would make a huge difference if people really called and helped make it a priority. When dentists talk to legislators about it, it comes across as if it's for us. And it really, being on the front lines like I am, serving the Medicaid patients, it just seems to be getting scarier and scarier. And we need other people to be calling and wishing that it were a priority, too.
Yeah. I'll get our legislative hotline number that we sometimes give out, because people always say, who should I call?
Right.
And I'll give that out at the end of the half hour. You know, Dr. Hebel, you know, maybe we didn't really talk about, you said a big number there, and that was a scary number, 850,000 or something like that, without access or adequate access to dental care because of this reimbursement problem. But so what, to sound callous? Why does it matter that low-income people aren't getting into the dentist as soon as they want to or as often as they want to?
Well, I really think that the price tag for this is not that great. There's a $4.4 billion budget, and the state spends $38 million. And for an additional $20 to $30 million of state funds, we could really solve the access problem. And when you say it, so what, children are dying in other states, and I don't think we want that to happen, and I don't want that to happen in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, they're dying because the infections, like gum infections or something?
Yes, they get a tooth abscess or a tooth infection that spreads to the brain, and it ends up costing so much more trying to fix that one. You know, you could help so many other children for the cost to take care of the really sick kids, and there's no need for it because it's a preventable disease.
Next we go to Carol in Milwaukee. Hi, Carol.
Good morning. I think it's a good idea because there are so many poor people that I have run into who don't have teeth and can't chew hard food at all, and you can just imagine what's happening to their health because of it, and probably they'll have to go to more doctors. Maybe Medicare would have to pay more, or Medicaid, because of the doctor bill, and so that's my opinion.
Yeah. Anything further, Dr. Hebel?
Oh, I totally agree.
Yeah. Milo in Mequon is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. On the one hand, I support this bill, but on the other hand, I just bet you that they made no provision for the drinkers of diet soda. And presumably they're going after the corn syrup and the sugar. That would be the ostensible logical reason. But I bet that's not in there, is it?
Is it just going to be sugar sodas or diet sodas too, Dr. Hebel?
Oh, it's actually the in the production.
Yeah, it says here the tax would be imposed on wholesale soft drinks and soft drink syrups and powders. And then
Gary Bies says that, you know, that when you work it all out, it comes to 2 cents per can per consumer, but it doesn't make any specific, it doesn't say anything diet versus, you know, dirt versus regular.
Right, and the issue comes in, if you create a trust fund, is there trust that that's going to be used for oral health care in the long run? And that's what we hope happens.
A lot of people wonder, because the things have been shifted around. Is there any guarantee that it will be used for that?
Right. Well, if you create a trust fund, does that mean somebody couldn't rate it in the future? That's why we'd love to see it prioritized in the budget.
Mm-hmm. Jim in La Crosse is with us now. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Yeah, I'm in favor of this for the simple fact that our state legislature obviously cannot put together a budget. They've been haggling for a long time now, and this particular item here is earmarked, and I if it's earmarked, I think it'll have a better chance of getting through.
Mm-hmm. No, if it is earmarked, it does say that it's supposed to be used for that. So,
right.
Pam in Wausau is next. Hi, Pam, you're on the air.
Hi, ladies. I am a dental hygienist, have been for about 10 years, and have worked with the Medicaid population exclusively for the past 2.5 years and somewhat exclusively prior to that at a clinic that took both the insured and the uninsured. I think that the reason for the access to care, the inability to get the care, is not just the payout, which my information has always been at approximately 35 cents on the dollar. I don't know if that's the number still being used, but that I always say to people when I'm trying to educate them about the reasoning for the poor access to care is that no business could stay open. It isn't that the dentists are out there being evil and wanting to pad their pocketbooks. There's no business that could stay open at 35 cents on the dollar. But there's a couple other things, too, in my opinion. It's the additional paperwork that goes along with seeing the Medicaid Badger Care population. The amount of different rules that you have to be aware of, the book, very thick book of rules that you have to be aware of, what you can do, when you can't do it, what you need to do to pre-authorize. And also the fact that the population in itself is somewhat transient, very difficult. It can be very difficult to get a hold of to confirm those people for appointments. And it is much more than tooth care. I hope people will hear that the health care tooth care link is undisputable. And we have so many people that sit in our chairs and cry after they've finally gotten their teeth fixed or gotten that partial or denture that they need, because now they feel they can go out there on a job interview. Mm-hmm. They feel more healthy. I can't even begin to tell you the number of stories of people where their overall health has changed, their mental health as well.
Yeah.
But like I said, now they can go out and feel that they can face the world with a better smile, to put it simply.
Yeah, Pam, I'm sure Dr. Hebel agrees with you, right?
Right. And then the other thing is that you can't solve this to go backwards and do the education first without having them be able to access care somewhere. Seems to me to be counterproductive, because you would frustrate them even more. And so you need to have the access, and then with the grants that would be in this trust fund, you'd be able to educate and get people to actually want to access care earlier on before they get into trouble.
Well, Dr. Hebel, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you.
Monica Hebel, president-elect of the Wisconsin Dental Association, telling us why she supports the 2 cent tax on soda to fund low-income dental care. Another perspective after the news. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 7:36 on this Wednesday morning, August the 15th. And we are talking about a proposed 2 cent tax on soda. A bill in the state legislature that would impose this tax specifically on wholesale soft drinks and soft drink syrups and powders, but it would come out to about 2 cents per can of soda per consumer. And the bill is nicknamed 2 cents for tooth cents. So the proceeds would be used to subsidize dental care for the low income in Wisconsin. We heard from a guest from the Wisconsin Dental Association in our first half hour, who told us why this was a good idea. And we will hear from a guest this hour who says it is not.
And we will continue to take your questions and your comments at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890. This soft drink tax bill is opposed by groups in Wisconsin, including the Wisconsin Beverage Association, the Wisconsin Grocers Association, the Midwest Food Processors Association. Spokespeople for those groups were not available for this half hour, but we found a more than worthy spokesperson. He is Jacob Sullum, senior editor of Reason Magazine, syndicated columnist, and author of For Your Own Good, The Anti-Smoking Crusade and the Tyranny of Public Health. He'll talk with us not about the details of this specific bill, but about the concept in general. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Morning.
So you don't think it's a good idea to tax soda by 2 cents and help pay for dental care for low-income people?
Well, it strikes me as sort of a silly gimmick. I'm not sure what the rationale is behind it, frankly, since it covers all soft drinks, and not just sugar-sweetened soft drinks.
Yeah.
So it would cover diet soft drinks.
We think, anyway. We're not sure about that.
I was looking at the bill, and by its terms, it covers basically any flavored soft drink.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not even sure that it would exclude something like club soda that has a little bit of flavoring in it, you know, things that have no association with dental decay at all. So it doesn't really make sense in that sense. And obviously it doesn't cover a lot of things that might contribute to tooth decay, such as candy or bags of sugar or, you know, anything else that's sweetened with sugar. So it doesn't really make sense in terms of what it's targeting. And I'm not sure if the goal is to discourage consumption of those products. Frankly, 2 cents is not going to do that. It's not really going to have a noticeable effect on consumption. So presumably the idea is to punish people for consuming these products because they're being bad.
What it would do is the reimbursement rate for dentists who accept Medicaid or low-income patients under what's called Badger Care in Wisconsin say that they only are reimbursed 30 to 40 cents on the dollar, and they can't afford to do this, and they can't afford to give dental care to the needy and go out of business doing it. So apparently let's find some way to subsidize dental care for the needy so the needy get the adequate dental health care that they need.
Right. Well, the question is why this way? The question, you know, why not use a broader-based tax? And that's what I'm trying to figure out, is why they chose to focus on these particular products. I mean, the idea, I assume, is that these are not things that you ought to be consuming, or if you're going to consume them, you ought to be kicking in more money. Well, why? Is your dental care going to be covered by taxpayers? And they're assuming you kind of have to just figure out the rationale because it's not really explicit. But but if the idea is that people who drink soft drinks are more likely to get cavities and therefore more likely to need dental care, then I guess the assumption is that taxpayers are somehow paying for that. But that's not true in most cases. In most cases, people are paying for their own dental care, and it really ought to be their business whether they're going to drink something that might make it more likely that they're going to have to go to the dentist more. So it doesn't really make sense in that sense either. But I think more broadly, this represents a trend toward taxing products that are perceived as unhealthy in an attempt really to discourage consumption. And I don't think this tax is going to do that because it's not high enough. But there is there have been a number of proposals to tax products that people disapprove of to try to get people to consume less of them. And I don't agree with that.
Yeah, a lot of callers who want to weigh in on this too. Jeff in Price County, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning. I can afford to buy soft drinks, which a lot of these soft drinks are proven by the health system that they're not healthy for you. If they can afford to pay for a soft drink, there's no reason they can't afford to pay a tax on it. I think it's a clear-cut case that it's a good idea to have a tax on it myself. Thank you.
All right. Well, you kind of broke up there a little bit, but if you can afford to buy the soft drink, you can afford to pay the 2 extra cents, I think, is the main point.
It's not a question of whether they can afford it. It's a question of why is it justified to single out consumers of these particular products. If we assume that it's a legitimate function of the government to provide dental care for poor people, then it ought to be something that everyone pays for. So it should be the money should be raised through some broader tax, and it shouldn't be used for some additional social engineering purpose in an attempt to discourage consumption of things that, that some people don't approve of.
Yeah. John in La Crosse, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I have two things. Number one, I think the first thing that needs to be addressed more than this tax is the need to revamp the dental industry in some larger ways. My wife and I go to the same dentist. We've had the same procedure done. And in one case, we were charged two different prices, and I asked the dentist about this, and they said it was all wording on how they file it with the insurance company. I thought that being unique, it's just a matter of wording and not procedure. I think the second thing, too, is Wisconsin is, in my mind, and I've lived here for 10 years now, is teetering on the border of becoming a welfare state. I have two friends who work in social welfare in La Crosse County. And through them, I've learned a lot of things about social welfare. I grew up low income, probably less than $8,000 a year, so I understand that side of the fence and what it's like to struggle, what it's like to not have. But I think there's got to be other ways than just taxing everything that we do. And if we're going to give Wisconsin the reputation of a welfare state, we are going to be losing out on people who would come here to start businesses because they're going to be overtaxed. We're going to lose out on just even educational purposes because people aren't going to want to come to Wisconsin if they know that their tax dollars, in particularly La Crosse County, is amazingly high tax.
Yeah.
So those are my two things.
Yeah, so taxing soda by a couple of cents would...
No, it's not the amount of money I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. It's the idea of, okay, let's tax this and we'll pay for this. Okay, next, why don't we tax alcohol more? Okay, alcohol does nothing good for your body, alcohol itself. There may be other things in wine that they say, but why not tax those things? Why not tax something that, you know, and the reason is because we sell so much pop, it's a no-brainer to get millions and millions of dollars.
Well, again, the Dental Association does think that there is a increased risk of tooth decay from people who drink a lot of, certainly, the sugary soft drinks. But, Jacob Sullen, what's your reaction to John's thoughts?
Well, I would say I don't agree with the premise that alcohol does nothing good for the body. In fact, there's a very clear association between alcohol consumption, not just red wine consumption, but alcohol consumption generally in moderation and a reduced risk of heart disease.
Right. You don't like the so-called sin taxes.
No, I don't. People find products that they don't like for one reason or another because they feel that they're unhealthy or they contribute to some social ill, and they say, let's tax that. There's no way to know. When you've taxed it enough, people are always want to tax it some more. And it's easy to pick on, you know, particular products with the rationale, oh, can't they afford another, you know, couple cents per can or whatever. But there's no, theoretical justification for it that I find acceptable. It depends, I suppose, on what you see the purpose of taxation as. If you think taxation is a means of social engineering to try to get people to behave in the way that you think is appropriate, then all these things make sense. But if you think taxation is a way to raise the revenue the government needs for its legitimate functions, then these things don't make sense.
Yeah, John, I appreciate the call. We're going to check weather, and then we'll continue talking with Jacob Sullum, senior editor of Reason Magazine, syndicated columnist, author of For Your Own Good, The Anti-Smoking Crusade and the Tyranny of Public Health. We asked him to respond to a proposal in Wisconsin that would place a 2-cent tax on soda, and that money, the money raised should this bill pass, would be used to reimburse or supplement dental care for low-income people. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. What do you think of this idea? What questions do you have? Jacob Sullum says this is a bad idea. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, he says. The Wisconsin Dental Association, who we heard from in our first half hour, says that it does make sense because soda promotes, especially sugary soda, promotes tooth decay. And this is a way to raise some money to reimburse dentists who care for Medicaid and Badger Care patients at a more fair amount. Right now, the reimbursement rate is only 30 to 40 cents on the dollar. What do you think? What questions do you have? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 13 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Wednesday, August the 15th. Coming up after 8 o'clock, I'm going to be welcoming in the Chancellor of the UW Extension and UW Colleges to talk about how
Extension and the state's two-year campuses are going to be affected by the proposed budget cuts. That's coming up after 8 o'clock. We're talking about a bill in the state legislature that would impose a tax on soft drinks to subsidize dental care access for low-income people in Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We talked with a supporter of the bill in our first half hour. Right now we're talking with an opponent to this idea, Jacob Sullum, who is senior editor of Reason Magazine. Our next caller is Paul in Rhinelander. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, good morning. I'm a pediatrician here in Rhinelander, and let me just say first that I would generally favor a funding a program such as the dentist was talking about this morning from the general fund as opposed to a particular product. I would agree that 2 cents per can is not likely to change behavior, but it's a well-known public health strategy to reduce a harmful, unhealthy behavior by increasing the cost of the product, and that's best shown in studies having to do with tobacco. But you have to significantly raise the price of at least 75 cents a pack. I would, though, say that I regret not having had a chance to talk to the dentist because I would ask her why the dentists are not at least seeing the children while they're waiting to have these funding issues resolved. At this time in northern Wisconsin, the children are actually going without any dental care. They have to drive as many as 150 to 200 miles to see a dentist, many times out of the state.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Paul. You didn't hear me ask that question. She said it. They'll go out of business if they do that.
Well, that may or may not be true, but pediatricians see children for 28 cents on the dollar. Covered by medical assistance, and at least here in Rhinelander, the lion's share of our patients are covered by medical assistance, and there's no place to shift the cost to.
Yeah, well, that's what she said, is that in medicine you can shift the cost differently than you can.
Yes, but that's not accurate. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I realize that your guest here is not going to comment about
that. Right, right. So,
but I would be interested to hear what he has to say. I'll take my answer off the air.
All right, Jacob Sullum?
Well, maybe there's a way of taxing dentist income, putting a surcharge on dentist income, and so the ones who are doing a better business by treating more affluent people can be compelled to subsidize those who are treating more poor people.
Try
that proposal. See if the dentist will go for that.
To
have a special tax that is paid on income from dentistry in order to pay for care for poor people.
Yeah, the spokesperson for the Wisconsin Grocers Association was dissing this idea too in some of the press accounts, and was saying, you know, a lot of people might need eye care or reading glasses. Should we impose a tax of 10 cents on each newspaper? How would your publisher like that?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really. It's obviously tongue in cheek, but it doesn't make a whole lot less sense than this proposal, especially since this proposal does not discriminate between products based upon their likelihood of contributing to cavities. It includes a bunch that don't contribute to cavities, and it excludes a bunch that do.
Yeah. Kathy in Milwaukee, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I had a teenage at my house yesterday, and he said he was thirsty, and I said, fine, could he have something to drink? Of course, there's lots of water there at the fountain. Well, he wouldn't touch that, and he would not believe that there was any decay, and his teeth are decaying away. And I think this raises awareness. I think this is a very good idea because it will at least raise awareness in kids that, yeah, this does cause decay, the fact that we're having to pay more, put more money in so that dentists can be paid for caring for the teeth.
Yeah. Well, what about that, Jacob Sullum?
No, I doubt that it raises any awareness among teenagers. I mean, they're applying, this tax would be applied at the wholesale level, and it would just show up in the bill. It would not be a line item on your receipt saying, you're paying 2 cents extra because we disapprove of this product. And like I said, it applies to a bunch of things that don't have those qualities. It's not even distinguishing among the products based upon their risk to your teeth.
We are talking about a bill in the state legislature that is nicknamed 2 cents for tooth cents. It's a bill that's authored by Republican State Representative Gary Bies of Sister Bay, who says that this bill would increase the cost of a can of soda by about 2 cents, and the money raised on this soda tax would be used to supplement, subsidize low-income dental care. Dentists say there's a crisis in Wisconsin because Medicaid patients and Badger Care patients have little access to dental care because of the low reimbursement rate that dentists get. And this money raised would reimburse dentists for their care of low-income patients. We are talking with a guest who says this text doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Jacob Sullum is the senior editor of Reason Magazine. And I think I just had Maxine on. So let's go to Harold in Sparta. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm very interested in your program here about taxes. You know, if the politicians, all politicians from county on up through federal, would start working as hard on reducing taxes as they do on promoting taxes on every item that comes out, it's all they're doing is on the lower class poor people, it's costing them more money so they can't afford to do anything to live.
All right. Do you have a comment on that, Jacob Sullum?
Well, it is worth pointing out that with any of these consumption taxes, when they're, you know, common everyday items, the burden does fall more heavily on poor people. So here you have a program that's ostensibly supposed to help poor people, but the funding mechanism that they're choosing is one that is regressive. And it's similar. It reminds me of the proposal to raise the federal cigarette tax in order to fund health care for people of modest means under the SHIP program, for children of modest means, you know, from families of modest means. It's the same sort of puzzling situation where, on the one hand, you want to help the poor, but on the other hand, you're sticking it to them.
Thank you, Harold. Maxine in Chippewa Falls is next. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. My husband and I had the opportunity to serve at Agnes's Table here in Chippewa Falls a couple weeks ago.
And what is that?
It's a feeding program for people who can't afford food.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Some people come there not having had anything to eat all day.
Mm-hmm.
I had the opportunity to serve raw carrots. Approximately half the people that went through the line could not eat the raw carrots because of their teeth. My heart went out to them.
Mm-hmm.
I think this should not only be a tax of 2 cents, I think it should be a tax of a nickel, because not only is this contributing to tooth decay, but our big problem, I think, is obesity, and it is majorly contributing to that. And this is not going to hurt poor people. Poor people can't afford pop. They may, in some cases, drink it and shouldn't, but they can't afford it.
Mm-hmm. We got an email with a similar thought from Elsie in Milwaukee saying soda is bad for us. Regular and diet sodas can both cause obesity, and she would support a nickel per can would be just fine with her. Jacob Sullum?
Well, I don't think this level of taxation is going to have any noticeable impact on consumption, certainly not one that's going to affect people's total calorie consumption. If the issue is now obesity as opposed to dental decay, I think as a matter of principle, it's not the government's business what you consume, and you ought to be able to consume products, even over-consume them, if that's your choice. And we shouldn't fool ourselves into thinking that something that's advertised as painless and an easy way to raise income is somehow going to have this measurable effect, not only on consumption of that particular product, but on total calorie consumption. I think that's very unrealistic.
Yeah, thanks, Maxine. Paul and Slinger, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. That's absolutely silly tax. The cost to administer this thing will eat up a lion's share of this tax on quote, soda. I've suggested a no-cost method. That is, have the Wisconsin Department of Education develop a very quick program for grade school on dental hygiene. You know, how to floss. Flossing material costs very much, not very much, and how to brush their teeth, and problem solved.
Well, I think they have those types of programs, though, and it's not solved. But in any case, Jacob Sullum?
Hello, Jake.
Yeah, you know, I have no objection in principle to teaching kids how to floss, if that's the question. But the justification for this proposal seems to jump around. On the one hand, it's an easy way to raise money. On another hand, maybe it's a way to deter consumption. On the other hand, maybe it's a way to raise awareness. I'm not sure exactly what the point is.
Yeah, and finally, Lee in Shawano. Hi, Lee.
Yes, hi, Joey and Jacob. Yeah, I think this is so silly because if you just pay attention for a few seconds with what I have to say, and I believe Jacob will believe with me, all right, if this does pass this soda test, 2 cents per can or whatever, all right, fine and dandy. Then the next thing we're going to hit out on, sweet cookies are bad for you. Sweet pastry cakes are bad for you. Mm-hmm. And then sugar cookies, that's a no-no. Eventually, I swear, it would go spiraling up all around.
Yeah, Jacob?
Yeah, I mean, if people are serious about, you know, trying to change the way that people eat using taxes, it's an incredibly complicated proposition. You're basically planning the prices for a huge sector of the economy. The Soviets tried to do that. It didn't work out so well. Mm-hmm. You have to calculate exactly what the right levels of consumption are going to be, mm-hmm. what the tax should be in order to achieve that level of consumption. It's really an impossible prospect, just in practical terms, leaving aside any philosophical objections. Yeah. It really can't be done.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Sure, thank you.
Jacob Sullum, senior editor of Reason Magazine. Hey, the legislative hotline number, I promised I'd give you this if you want to spot off one way or the other on this proposal. 1-800-362-9472. I'm Joy Cardine. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing the hour. This is the Ideas Network.